This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, we got hour two right here for you. The G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Wolchuk is here. Chiafalo was with KNC today. He'll be back with us on Monday. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thethefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. So Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, reporting this afternoon there is a development with Micah Parsons, and he wants a shorter deal possibly. So 5 years and $204 million maybe. Isn't what he's looking for. He's looking for like 4 and 160, all guaranteed, something like that.
Yeah, the quote was Cowboys might need to shave a year or even two off of an offer to complete the deal. So Micah might want to be looking at, hey, when I'm 29 or 30, I can get back into the market and hopefully cash in again.
Yeah, Cowboys want to do the longer deal.
And yeah, they like the 5 years.
It's weird because the Eagles just create void years on the back of these contracts and just push money into there. Well, I mean, the Cowboys could do that. I don't think this should be that much of a sticking point. It comes down to preference. You know, I think we know where this contract is headed, at least APY and a lot of guarantees. I think the record for edge guarantee is $125 million right now with Myles Garrett. So somewhere north of like 4 and 165 with 130 guaranteed, something like that, should get the deal done for Micah Parsons. I can't imagine the Cowboys wanting to risk going into the season and not having him. But at the same time, I mean, how do you look at this negotiation if you're the Cowboys in light of how long is Micah Parsons going to be great?
That's my big question, right? Because if he's a guy, and Brian, I know you've talked about this, like if he doesn't enjoy the film work, I just wonder about how his game ages. Because right now he's a freak athlete.
Let's do it.
And he's super strong.
Let's do this.
And he wins with speed. So like, if he wants a 3-year extension right now, because I think he's got a year left.
Let's do it.
So that would take him to 30.
Sure.
I'm in.
Yep.
Let's go. He's 27 years old right now?
He's 26.
Okay.
So if you've got him for this year and then 3 years after, right, that gets him to 30 years old, if my math's right. So I'm pretty cool with that.
And then
we'll adjust from there.
Yeah, let's do this.
I mean, why do the Cowboys want to go longer with him?
Absolutely.
Why would you want an edge under contract at 30 and 31 for $40 million a year?
Well, I think they like it so that they can spread the money out with 5 years, right? But to your point, now with the void years, I mean, you could really do the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope Micah Parsons can play great into his 30s, and some guys can. Like, we're seeing Von Miller, you know, Dwight Freeney. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't he do that, Brian? Why couldn't he play well into his 30s?
Oh, he could absolutely play, but he's the guy that you hang your hat on, and it seems like Zach and I did a Love of the Star this morning. We did a top 10 Cowboy players, you know, off this current team. We had a discussion about Micah. We had a discussion why he would be either one or two on a lot of your lists. And some of the discussions that I had was because, you know, there's times where he plays and then he gets wore down and then people are able to take him out of games late in the year. You know, he does. He fights battles every day. And that's the thing. And if he's more interested in not staying with a workout program that you're prescribing and being around every day, his ability is going to be work, I think, less and less and less every year.
Yeah.
So why do I want to pay him long term?
That's a fact. I don't think you should like go cavalierly into these big deals that are going to set the market for guys that don't love working.
It's exciting to get a guy like this Cooper Flagg who's 19 years old and wants to work, wants to be that guy, you know?
Been doing it since he was 12.
Yeah, exactly. And Micah is really a natural player.
Yeah.
Very natural. I'm not saying he doesn't work out. But the older he gets, the more interested he's going to be in his podcasting world, his going to Tokyo, going to doing things. So how much is he going to put in the work that you want to, you know, like you say, you pay Dak, you know, Dak is going to put in the work. Micah is kind of I'm not saying it's, you know, Micah's got his interest and that's cool. But if it's me, the short-term deal, let's go.
I'll tell you the best way to handle this the Cowboys could do is do whatever deal he wants. And then this year goes, then trade him. You know, I don't want to lose Micah for this year because George Pickens is here. And if you hit it running back and your offensive line pick, this offense is going to be nasty. And I want Micah around on defense because without him, you're one of the worst 10 defenses in the NFL. With him, you're one of the 10 best.
Sure.
So yeah. I want to try to get this year done. But I'm with you guys on the long-term risk. And trading Micah at 24, 25, 26 doesn't make sense. But 27 going on 28 makes 100% sense if you don't think you're going to be amazing in 2026.
Yeah, I just feel like, to me, let's get this thing done, and maybe it frees you up for other things you could do with the other opportunities.
I like the idea of that. I really do. Yeah.
Okay, what happened to the homers? Evan Grant writing in the morning news today. I'm sure you've seen this piece, Wolchuk.
Yeah, and The Athletic also had one. This has all of a sudden become a big thing, like the offense and how it's not a hitter's park, Globe Life Field. It's really fared well for the pitchers.
Okay, so I think it does kind of explain how they can still be close to 500 with such a horrible offense, because every team plays here is likely to have a horrible offense as well. Like, the Globe is doing crazy things to ball flight. And every year, it's coming down. So now, like, the same barrel, the same launch angle is flying, like, between 5 and 8 feet shorter than just a couple of years ago, which is the difference of warning track power in bomb skis.
So what's up with the torpedo bat thing? I mean, did that not take off?
I think the torpedo bat thing was probably one of the
most
overblown.
By the way, is Cal Raleigh a torpedo bat guy? I was just curious.
I don't know if he is or not. Yeah.
You think that was overblown?
I think it was pretty over. It was a fun story at the beginning of the year because the Yankees hit like a bunch of home runs and some of their guys were using it.
And they were playing against Tampa in that minor league park kind of thing?
Maybe.
No but, great I advantage. Mean,
it's kind of faded, right? Yeah. Like, guys are used. Some guys like it, some guys don't. But it was also in the sport. It's not like it was new. It was kind of new to us. So it was a fun story, but I don't think the torpedo bat's like making or breaking.
I think it's more about the baseball. I think it's more about the baseball and how they're doing the seams and the drag rate on these things is just not consistent year to year.
I kind of feel like, though, that if you told me that my team won't hit or I have to sit in 100 degree weather to watch baseball,
you'd rather sit in a hundo?
No.
Oh, you'd still rather be in the
AC too. With no offense.
If do you think the fence angle has anything to do with what goes on with home runs there at our ballpark? That the fact that they're all kind of, it's a funny shaped outfield.
Here's what Grant wrote about it.
I didn't read his story.
He says the most obvious route for changes in flight dynamics would be a structural change. At Globe Life Park, formerly Rangers Ballpark, for example, a club was put in around year 2000 that limited some airflow and was believed to cause a significant jet stream effect towards right center field. Yeah. Mm. Save for a couple minor cosmetic changes, there have been no real structural changes to Globe Life Field since it opened. So, I mean, they got the weird lines and there's some different things going on, but when the ballpark opened, balls were flying out, and every year that goes by, they're getting less and less, like, distance on them. Is it the air conditioning?
You know, I was about to say, does the air conditioner blowing in towards the field
or changing the properties of the air in a way that reduces flight?
CY was asked about it. I mean, he said they're looking into all possibilities, like what doors are open, what doors are closed. I mean, they're definitely doing a deep dive study about it. They're very aware. But yeah, I mean, the average flight from 389 feet in 2023 to 380 feet this year, I mean, it just keeps dropping.
It's the 376 now.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's the baseballs. It's got to be the baseballs.
I think it is.
Down 13 feet from 2023.
That's wild.
How about no more steroids?
But it's okay, so you say it's got to be the baseballs. It's not happening as much at other parks. Like, Grant walks into this article saying the ball seems deader. MLB even acknowledges that dragging the ball seems higher than a year ago. That may have an impact on how well balls fly. The data, and there is tons of it thanks to StatCast, suggests solidly struck or barreled fly balls are traveling about 3 feet less than they did a year ago throughout the game and about 5 feet less than in 2023. And then there's Arlington, where that 5 foot number is 13 feet.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are we doing something different with the baseballs here that they're not doing in the other parks?
Oh, no.
Are we?
Well, because across Major League Baseball, we've got this problem where they were talking about
putting them in microwaves and stuff like that. I mean, weren't there all
they
kinds
got them
of,
in humidors now.
Okay. Yeah, are we up to snuff on our
humidor? Is our humidor as good?
Yeah.
Are we not going to?
Are we too good with the humidor? You know?
Maybe we need a different humidor. I'm sure CY is reviewing all of this stuff and they're going to come to a conclusion on it. But yeah, you know, significantly less chance of a home run than just a couple of years ago. You got to fix this, don't you?
Yeah, you've got to. You got to figure out a way to, I mean, I don't know if there's something in the ballpark that they need to figure out. But it's interesting. Like, the obvious route for changes in the flight dynamics is a structural change, right, yeah. Zevin?
Yeah, I got that in there.
So it yeah. I don't know. I don't. I mean, there is. Maybe it I'd is
like
something
to know
to do
where
the ballpark.
Air conditioners are placed in this place.
That could have something to do. Like, it really could be all of the above here. It could be something with the ballpark.
Okay, when they open the roof, the ball flies around, right?
Statistically, yes. When the roof is open, you do have a further the ball travels further. That is true.
You keep that baby open, but then you get the slick concrete. Then you get the slick concrete, don't you? That's why they haven't.
Yeah,
it's got to be the perfect outdoor temperature to not have the dew point be catastrophic there for patrons slipping and falling. Yeah, could you imagine coming down those stairs when they're slick?
It's going to cause a lot of problems. That's lawsuits waiting to happen.
You know what? I'm being a wuss about this because I keep saying no. Don't let me sit in the hot ballpark and all that. I don't go to enough games. I go every Friday when you guys ask me to go, and I enjoy doing that. But, I mean, if I was a season ticket holder, please don't make me sit in the heat anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll figure
those
out.
Those people are built different. They can enjoy
that. Please let me just enjoy the game. You know, I know there was a lot of people that would go to the old ballparks and sit out there, and that's tough, man. July and August, that's tough sitting out there.
Yeah, I did it one July in the bleachers, and I was just like, holy cow.
Never
I think
again.
We made it five brutal. Innings.
Brutal. Like, if people ask you, like, in August to go to an old Rangers game, you would think they'd hate you.
It was like, thanks, but...
You would fake injury. Like,
I'm all right.
No, man, I think my appendix is really... Sounds I might fun, bust any minute now. I don't know.
The only place to go was they called it a number of different things, the Jose Cuervo Club or whatever that was behind home.
Yeah, but the Rebecca sun Creek would just Saloon. Pour in there, too. I mean, it was AC'd, but... You know,
the outfield shade sometimes. But to go back to Cal Raleigh, he does use the torpedo bat when he bats left-handed. He's a switch hitter. So when he's on the left side of the plate, he rocks the torpedo bat.
He uses that
bat.
Thing like a cricket
mallet.
Mallet. Is that what it's called, a mallet?
I think so.
Cricket?
Is it a cricket mallet? No, it's a cricket paddle.
Paddle, maybe. Yeah. We can
I think the
up.
Mallet's in polo.
Yeah, that's right. But I saw a couple swings at Cal Raleigh. He takes that ball inside and just hooks
it.
He's
been unbelievable.
He just hooks it around that foul pole over there.
It's just a bat.
A player's bat with a cricket bat.
It's just called a bat?
Yeah, it's just called a bat.
God, I should have known that.
Yeah, I was way off too.
Cricket expert.
I was co-signing.
I think mallet is polo though. I think you're right about that. A polo mallet.
Rangers Mariners tonight, they will have an assortment of bats, you know.
Well, they all work.
I'm losing confidence, and I guess if I had to predict what I think is going to happen with Rangers and Mariners this weekend, my gut's telling me they're going to get swept.
Oh, hell no.
There's been too much bad series against the Mariners, and I'm getting my hopes up, and every time I've gotten my hopes up this year, I think six times, I was definitely never a Mariners fan. I trolled the hell out of them. They were a three-hour drive away.
Whatever, you former Mariners board op.
Yeah. I mean, I
saw him win 103 games, damn it.
It was 116 in 2001. Board opped every single one of them, including Mike Bassick's career debut.
Oh, did you?
They actually lost that game. Mariners went up 11 or 12 to 0, and then the Tribe started... Yeah, a lot of it was Bassick's doing. I think he gave up like eight of them.
Surprise, surprise.
But
he's back tonight on the call.
He is.
Polo mallet, by the way. It's also known as a polo
Thank
stick.
Thank you.
But it's called a mallet.
So we do have three righties in a row to get this series started, but they all do have an ERA under four. The first two with an identical 3-1-2. You have Gilbert and Wu, and then Castillo on Sunday in the finale. And
pretty damn good.
After Evo, are we still TBD on these, Wolchuk?
I think so. I got to look and see if they came out with a full plan for the weekend on the off day. I kind of plugged down on that a little bit, but I will do some research on that and get back to you.
Right on.
Because tomorrow we have the Elvis Andrews Hall of Fame induction.
Is that a bobblehead?
That's
going to
be badass.
You got bobbleheads coming
I'm
up.
I'm sure they've
got
to have stuff. Yeah, absolutely. I think tonight they've got a little something.
Oh, okay.
Something
we got the bobblehead. Okay, that's cool.
All righty. It's the G-Bag Nation.
Be out there
here.
Monday.
On 105.3 The Fan, Page versus Clark is off for tonight at the AAC. I guess the only kind of good news is it didn't really sell out like they were saying it was going to. And
man, we were talking about that. There were people spending $800 for tickets.
Yeah. Maybe they found out that Caitlin Clark was hurt and he didn't get that final shove in over the last 24 to 36 hours or
400 level, whatever up there.
Kevin Sherrington writing today, a Clark Beckers rivalry could have a Magic and Bird type of dynamic to it. And I don't know. You know, I do see women's sports capturing the imagination, and you got to take yourself into the 80s. And where the analogy kind of plays is the league had just emerged from kind of a fringe American sport. Like, boxing was way bigger. you know, horse racing was competing, and the NBA wasn't what it is today. Really, that started in about 1986, maybe, as Jordan, Bird, and Magic are really starting to get momentum after, you know, 3 or 4 years in the league together. And I hope so. You know, I think it's a great time to be into girls' sports, into women's sports, and dreaming of where our daughters can go into the future if it is a special athlete or an athlete that wants to put everything together. Now we're actually looking at a point where I think women's sports is going to get the level of eyeballs that are going to make women's athletes super rich too, not just the pretty ones. You know, we've seen the pretty ones getting rich, Anna Kournikova and all them.
Shout out to Sophie.
Danica Patrick, Brian's favorite driver.
Yeah.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And when we come back, we got the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening, everything in the headlines around America's team here on the...
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for the Cowboys news of the evening. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. 3-4-6, Mavs Nation looking forward to flag and a dynasty run in DFW. Is that possible? I think they're talented enough. You know, if you can assure me health, I definitely think they'd win one championship over the next three seasons, maybe multiple. Agree.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. If they can be healthy, the West is really the entire NBA is there for the take. And who's carrying in the East now with Boston dismantling that team? Nobody. And you match up great with OKC. You took 3 of 4 last year, and you won all three of those games without Luka. So this is definitely a team, if health is on their side, they can win.
Let me ask you this question then. You're on the fire Nico.
Yep.
You still think they can win if Nico is the general manager?
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, I think this team is, he's done a good job putting it together. I think for the fan base, like it's less of, there's things that I like that Nico's done basketball wise. I think growing up and knowing MFFLs and being one myself, there will be no finishing and healing unless that is removed from the organization.
Yeah, that's the interesting question, is how much would you enjoy a championship?
I think there's
Nico?
A lot of Maverick fans that wouldn't.
You would not give him any rope if they do win a championship, right?
You mean like credit?
It's not credit, but I'm just saying you're not going to give him any leeway.
You're not going to forgive him?
You're not going to forgive him.
I think he needs to be removed.
No, he every time he talks, he offends the fan base.
Yeah, it's just it's not going to get any better. There's always going to be something. There's even video right now when Luka gets brought up and somebody's like Cooper Flagg side-eyeing the general manager like, "Oh, the guy who did the Luka trade over there." Like there's always it's never going to we're never going to be able to fully heal and move on.
Yeah.
As a Metroplex, as Maverick fans, until he is fired. And I don't really give a damn about Mark Cuban and defending his guy or Patrick Dumont, who's clueless as hell. They need to realize that. If you really care about the people that are putting money in your pockets, which are your fans, a good portion of them will not be able to move on until you remove that cancer from your organization. I don't care if he's good at his job or not.
Yeah, I think
they've got to fire him.
It'd be an incredible parade, an incredible celebration. I don't think it would be as big as it could be. I don't know how to quantify it, 5-10%.
Yeah.
All Bulls fans hated Jerry Krause, and you know Jordan and Pippen were openly encouraging them to hate him, but they still enjoyed the hell out of that season. And I think once the winning starts, you'll just try to ignore Nico. You know, because there's usually somebody on your team that you would prefer not to be there. But, you know, if you go and win it, it's just it's too much fun to not get caught up in. But I don't think Nico will ever be a guy who's appreciated by the local fan base. Yeah. I no matter how much success that he has.
Does he
it's personal.
A point of vindication a little bit, the fact that we're hearing that Luke has gone to this diet program, is taking it seriously.
Absolutely.
Was this the wake-up call that he was trying? I mean, it took him being traded for him to make a change. I'm talking about Luka.
All of Nico's complaints about Luka were valid. You know, even the decision to move on from him as we go to a much more high-paced style away from point guards who dominate the ball. Kobe said years ago that style won't win a championship. At the time, he was referring to James Harden, but it was pretty
pound the ball, pound the ball, pound the ball.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, now as you saw with Indiana, they had the best offense of the regular season and the playoffs because they're just boom, 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 boom. And at times when Luka was out and Kyrie played that style with the guys, they played great. That's how they beat OKC. Oh, Luka's out. That cool. We can play an up tempo style. And without Luka on the court, all of your defenders other than Kyrie can be athletic. But even Kyrie gives great effort. You know, he's going to try to stay in front of guys on the perimeter. He's going to sit down on an entry pass and try to deny it, as he did, you know, and continues to do. So, you know, everything that Nico decided on, I think, is basketball sound until you trade him for Anthony Davis.
What if there's a situation, and it's just me thinking, that Mark Cuban told people in the organization that he wasn't interested in paying Luka, and this, that, like, he's defending Nico because Nico made the trade, and now Nico's the one having to wear the bloods on his hands.
Yeah.
Where Mark was talking to people in the organization, like, I can't pay him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pay this guy.
You can't pay him and also win.
Yeah. So it was one
I
of
could
those,
pay him, but I have to cut a bunch of other dudes.
So Nico basically did Mark's dirty work for him, and then Mark had to sell the team.
Yeah, I think the same thing applied to DeMont. Like, they just didn't want to pay Luka.
I don't think DeMont and them knew. I don't think they don't know if it's pumped up or stuffed. You know, they don't know. I mean, they're but maybe Nico did Mark's dirty work, where Mark was going to probably have to come out and make a decision about, well, I can't pay this guy this max contract.
I mean, Mark had started doing some pretty cheap stuff with the payroll.
That's what I was
head scratching type of stuff.
That's what I was.
I think Mark recognized, I can't build a winner around Luka because it costs too much money,
right?
You know, and Mark actually talked about it today at the press conference afterwards. A lot of teams are blowing up their NBA championship contenders because they are terrified of the second apron. They know it is actual financial losing. Most of these guys are in it to run their team for a profit while trying to win a championship. And now you go second apron, you could end up losing money, out of the playoffs, stuck with that roster, can't trade the guys next year because somebody's hurt, somebody's underperforming, and now you're all of a sudden looking like, over the next decade, we might lose $200 million. Easy. You know, if we can't get back in the playoffs, or if we can't figure out a way to trim this payroll. So it's like a real life battle of profitability, and you know how these billionaires are going to roll. Very shrewd. Recent Arch Manning speculation makes him likelier to wind up with the Cowboys when he does declare for the NFL draft. I saw that headline, I clicked it. Okay, now should I have? I don't know, but I was curious.
Did you have to provide your credit card number when you
should
did
I have? I don't know.
No, this was A to Z Sports. Okay, were you suggesting maybe it was Fish's account?
Yeah,
a lot of paywalls out there. This was not a paywall thing, so I got to read it. The angle is, if Arch really does wait two more seasons to declare, the chances of the Cowboys taking him could go up significantly. If Dak Prescott's career is on the decline, I guess in the spring of 2027 going in, the Cowboys at that point, it might not be as undebatable as it is right now as far as moving on from Dak. But they'll have clarity on how good Dak is. Has he come back from this second injury? And the Arch Manning speculation, is 2 years the most likely? Do you think he coming out in 2027
I think
the most
2 likely?
Years,
yeah.
I think 2 years is fair.
So, I mean, let's be honest. They've done nothing in year one under Eberflus to fix the run defense. Their tackles are below NFL average. Like, if you would score Steele and Guyton somewhere in the 20s, I think, maybe even 25 to 30, somewhere in there. You know, but the idea would be that this team is possibly going to bounce back, but maybe their weaknesses along with injuries could make this year be bad. And then if 2026 is bad, you're in 2027 looking at Arch Manning.
Can I
me up for it.
Can I ask you a question, Zach? And I asked you this question today. We had this discussion, get on Love of the Star. Gavin, if you're in a situation, is there a chance that that opponents look at the Cowboys' secondary as being so bad that there's no reason to run the football, even with their strong pass rush?
Yeah. Well, I think their corners will be good enough that you're still going to have to fear the pass rush. I think this pass rush is going to be nasty.
I think the pass rush is going to be good. But but we've seen teams that, like, we had this discussion today that Zach again and I had, was about the Philadelphia Eagles several years ago, 2 years ago, when they made all the changes with the defensive coaches and all, and
yeah.
And they were 10-1, they started losing games, you know,
yeah.
And they were 32nd in passing.
Wheels came off, yeah.
And nobody, even with that pass rush they had, nobody tried to run the ball on them because the passing game was too good against them.
Hmm.
Even with their pass rush. Should we fear, if you're the Cowboys, that people are going to look at them and say, listen, their secondary is not good?
Yeah, I think what it makes me think of is there's two things you should fear. You know, because now they can pick. Well,
I just wonder if teams are just going to be like, listen, Dallas is going to try and load up and stop this run.
But their pass defense is going to be better than their run defense. I mean, you would have to have a bad running game.
But the biggest questions that I think we have more questions about the secondary than we do the front seven, yeah, right?
We have a lot of questions on the health of the secondary.
If you frame it like that, but if you say, what do you have more confidence in, pass defense or run defense? This team can't stop the run. This team can rush the passer incredibly well. They have Deron Bland.
And so did the Philadelphia Eagles, but their secondary was so bad that teams just threw the ball on them. They were the 30th ranked secondary, you know, in the NFL.
I think they were kind of the perfect blend of what you're talking about here, because if I remember, that was also the year that they were bad against the run, and they're adding like Linval Joseph as well, and like Ndamukong Suh and guys in the middle of the season to try and help them out. So
I'm just thinking
they were bad at both.
I'm just thinking that teams might look at Dallas and think, wow, we can throw the ball on these guys. If we just protect, now that's the key. But teams with quick passing games and stuff, we've seen Micah get taken out of games. Chip, help, all that stuff. We've seen that. I wonder if teams are going to look at Dallas and say it's easier with their corners that they have and their nickel and their safeties and Bland trying to kind of do everything, that this team might be easier to throw the ball on. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden we're getting into the season like, damn, they can't stop the pass.
It's an interesting idea, Brian, but what do you really think? This run defense is horrible.
No,
they have Micah Parsons. Their pass defense is going to be good.
Well, their secondary is potentially not going to be. I don't worry about Micah Parsons and Ezeraku and Williams and those guys like that.
But can the pass rush save?
Save your secondary from being so bad?
Right,
I think so.
And that's okay. Possible. I mean, you might be just so damn good at getting to the quarterback so fast that teams can't throw it well on you.
And then you're dealing with like replacement level with Kyir Elam, and you're dealing with a guy who did make all pro. Is he a borderline pro bowler in Deron Bland? I don't know how you look at him right now, but you know, I just look at, while they have a good front seven, those guys have not played discipline. They have not played with gap integrity for a long time. And now you're going to Eberflus, who's going to stress getting up the field even more. They're headhunting. And I think the temptation and the trend is that it's going to be super easy to run the ball against the Cowboys. If you also add super easy to pass against them, like they're picking with
that. We have not talked about, we've talked about what we think about the pass rush, but if teams might just look at this and it might be happened very early that all of a sudden even with this pass rush, they cannot keep people from completing balls down the field.
All right, we're coming up on 1 hour to my bet payoff, the Coach McCreary. If you want to look that up, DeKalb County's Coach McCreary, 35-year multiple state champion, he got fired for spanking his players in the Bahamas with his shoe. So I'm asking Woolchuck, Broadus, Lucius, if you would like to, Carter Freeman, if you would like to, at 440. You can really lace it into me, you know? Maybe go viral if you hit me too hard. Maybe... All sorts of fun ways this could go here. So you can watch it 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though, Brian. Where are you taking
us? Yeah, it's a Friday staple. It's a name game. We'll see if the guys know who these NBA drafted players are. Oh, we'll do that next.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tea or mensteaclinic.com.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a good one. We'll take a look at the moments and bloopers from the Mavs press here coming up at 4 o'clock. Little rim session. A lot of basketball stuff to talk about. Get you ready for free agency and who the Mavs are going to get next. But right now, time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the King, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you to Reliant as well. All right. It's kind of like my Friday until we get started with football season. Have things to talk about, breakdown, stuff like that. By the way, we mentioned a couple different times. We did a Love with a Star today.
We did. And I enjoyed today's episode. I hope you give it a listen. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. After our show, you know, give it a listen. See what you think. Zach and I went through our top 10 Dallas Cowboys. And
on the team now?
Currently. Maybe we'll circle back with you, Dawson. You can give us your top 10 at a little bit later if you want.
Okay. I'm going to put this together.
You put this together? But, yeah, Zach and I did it, and we had a pretty spirited discussion about some guys and – couple guys, you know, maybe a little bit higher, maybe a little bit lower, and maybe a couple guys that got left off that you would be surprised about. But we each took a stab at it, kind of June radio stuff. And so give it a listen.
Injured guys count.
They count.
Yeah. So
there was one very notable one that we did not have in the top 10.
Yeah.
Brian actually had two.
Yeah. I had two in the top 10 that were kind of notable.
Trayvon Diggs and Dak Prescott.
I had in the top 10. Yeah.
You go with a rookie?
Oh, no. Okay. No.
I'll have to listen.
Yeah, give it a listen.
Good tease.
Give it a listen. Thank you. All right. It's my Friday game. I have to get Lucius involved. He's usually the champion of this because he kind of figures out these if, you know, he's got the reason. It sounds like a name. Sounds like a baseball player name.
Sounds Lucius like, was undefeated last week.
Lucius is like always undefeated in this stuff.
Shoot.
But we just got done with the NBA draft.
Sorry.
We just got done with the NBA draft rounds 1 and 2, and there's some unique names in this draft. So I'm going to ask my esteemed colleagues, brothers here, is this a real NBA drafted player this year or not?
Okay.
All right. Oh, man. See, I had the draft on both days, but it was like wallpaper. It was in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Stephen A. Smith is on my television, I just can't watch it, bro. I can't do it.
Can't do this? All right. Well, since you were wallpapering there, Lucius, we'll start with you. Ulf Timberman.
Ulf?
Ulf. U-L-F. Ulf Timberman. Was Ulf Timberman a player drafted?
Timberman sounds good. That Ulf is weird.
Ulf strange. Timberman. Was he a drafted player?
Timberman on a baseline. Yeah.
Gonzaga.
Yep, I like it. Oh, crap. Oh, man.
What do you think, Lucius?
Okay, I was all the way with it until Dawson said Gonzaga. Now, I don't have too much confidence, but I'm going to stay on my first answer. Yes.
You're saying yes.
He is a basketball player.
How about you there, Wooly? Ulf Timberman. Don't be looking at your screen.
Timberman Ulfs, for three.
Ulfs, man. Like an Ulf? Are we making Ulfs anymore? I know we get a lot of Europeans drafted, but Lucius is so good, I kind of want to just side with him, but I'll go opposite and say no, not an NBA draft pick.
Don't be cheating over there.
I'm not cheating. Lucius can see what I'm looking at.
I know.
I got nothing going on.
Okay.
I mean, you think Lucius can see that far.
I got glasses on today.
I've seen Lucius lean way into that screen.
What's going on?
He's like checking that music. Let me get the vibe. And then you're like, his head's right there. How about you, Dawson? Ulf Timberman.
Never heard of him. I'm going to say no.
Damn it.
You've been over there chatting. You got that computer tilted away. No, I got another.
You've been chatting.
I got another.
You got chatting over there.
I'm going to put together my list.
Okay. Ulf Timberman.
What do we got?
He's actually a gold medalist for Germany as a shot putter in 1988.
Oh, God,
dog it. Ulf, I had to guess German for Ulf.
Ulf Timberman. He's a shot putter from Germany, 1988 gold medalist.
I mean, I watched a grand total of 0 seconds last night, so he could easily been a second good. Rounder.
Could have been Timberman.
I'm just going with my
44
gut.
44 meters for Timberland.
All right. Rocco Zaharski.
There is no way a basketball player is named Zaharski. That's a football player. Or maybe hockey.
From Detroit.
You're going no on that one, Dawson?
Mm-hmm.
Rocco Zaharski.
Hey, Rocco.
Maybe a boxer.
Hey, Rocco, hey.
From the Eastern Bloc.
Hickory dickory dock. Rocco climbed that clock.
Yeah.
Hey. Lucius, how about you? Rocco Zaharski.
I was wrong on the last one. Zaharski. I don't. You know what? Yes. Total guess.
Total yes of a guess.
Because I was wrong on the last one.
How about you there, Wooly?
Sounds Italian. I'm going to say he's an Italian speed skater.
Ooh.
Rocco was picked by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Hold on, LA.
245.
Caught us again.
That's kind of what we're at here.
That's a guess.
Educated guesses.
245. He was picked. He was second round, 45th overall selection.
Never hear from him again.
All right, Wooly.
Yep.
Alex Tuohy.
Oh, God.
Alex Tuohy.
I think Alex Tuohy is a basketball player. That name seems to ring a bell. Maybe it's somebody that I knew as a kid, and I'm projecting that this is a basketball player, but I'm going to say, yeah, say that person was drafted.
Alex Tuohy, you're saying yes, basketball player.
Tuohy, how do you spell the Tuohy?
T-O-O-H-E-Y.
I'm going to say yes. Give me the Tuohys.
Alex Tuohy for three.
Dawson? There's an outside chance I recognize that name as well.
It sounds a little familiar.
Yeah, but I can't say it with certainty.
Tuohy.
So I'm going to say I've never heard of the guy.
You're saying he's
not a basketball player.
You're saying not a basketball player?
Yeah. I'm going to say I've never heard of the guy.
He's a hooper.
Lucius, you're going hooper right off the jump.
He's a hooper. Let's go, please. Yeah, he's a hooper.
Please be a hooper.
Alex is Australian.
Oh, Lord. Come on.
Phoenix Suns.
Oh!
Nice pick.
Second round.
G'day, mate.
52nd overall pick.
Let's go.
Man, what a great pick.
Let's go. What a play by me.
Oh. All right. Dawson?
Yeah.
Matt Danowski.
Ooh.
Matt Danowski.
Skiing here.
Yeah, sounds like he'd get bullied. Yeah. Where's the money, Danowski?
Right? Yeah. Flipping Danowski, man.
Danowski.
Matt Danowski.
Yeah. Do not let him be on LeBron's team or he will be yelling at him constantly.
Danowski.
I'm going to say Hooper.
Lucius.
Danowski is not a hooper. I don't know why I'm saying that.
I'm thinking
about it for a second. Danowski.
Yeah. You know.
So shake by Danowski. He's on the top of the key.
Matt, even the name Matt. That's kind of
okay, he's a hooper. God, dog, he brought us. No, he's not a hooper.
Not a hooper.
Not a hooper, bro. You almost had me. You almost had me.
He almost had us.
You got to know Matt's a hooping name.
Yeah. Danowski, though, too, is. That's a three-point guy.
Yeah, Danowski could
Church
be.
Church League. Could just be killing sneaky. Y'all. Yeah. Shot.
Sneaky good. Yeah. Here's the Danowskis.
Knows how to do a pick and roll.
Oof. Good rebounder. Now I'm going to say no. Not a basketball player.
Okay, so far we have all no's or?
I said Hooper.
Hooper and yep. Two no's, right?
Shoot.
Matt Danowski. God damn it, Danowski. Duke.
Mm. Oh, crap.
Come on.
He was one of the starting five on Duke. Their entire starting five
got
drafted.
What did he do at Duke?
They record. I mean, this is one rare time in NBA history that happened.
Lacrosse.
Ah, all lacrosse. America.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Woo. 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 Matt Danowski. Duke. All American. Lacrosse.
Oh, man. That was a surprise.
04-08.
Yeah. I think I would have known the Duke starters.
You know? Yeah, I didn't think he was a starter, but I couldn't name all five Duke starters. I know Knipple and I know Flagg. And then one of them's back.
Malawach,
yeah, the center. They went like 10th overall.
And then they had the transfer point guard that I think I would recognize his name if I heard it.
Lucius.
Yeah.
Will Richard.
Oh, yeah, that's a hooper.
Will Richard.
Will
that's a hooper.
Richard. To you, Dawson.
Yeah, it's no doubt about her.
But you, Wooly.
Will Richard?
Will Richard.
Sure, basketball player.
Oh, boy, now it's not. Now, come on.
Billy Dick. Bang.
Come on.
Billy Dick from the corner.
Yeah, this guy's a sharpshooter.
Oh. All three said yes, right?
All three are wrong.
Oh,
gosh,
God.
F and A.
Hooper.
Yeah! Let's go.
He was drafted by Memphis, 56 overall.
He's going to end up being a badass for the Memphis Grizz.
Last one. Anyway, I've got two more names, but we'll try. Here we go. Lucius.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Sanders.
Come on, bro.
Kobe Sanders.
Kobe Sanders.
I don't know. Sound like somebody named, they named after Kobe kind of, but you might be playing baseball or something like that.
Maybe a surfer. You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe a surfer.
Kobe Sanders.
skateboarder.
Not a guy. Not a hooper.
Not a hooper, not says a hooper. Lucius. After much deliberation, Wooly.
Shoot.
I'll go hooper. I'm going to say no hooper, and I base that on just the fact that the last one you did was a hooper.
Kobe Sanders.
Oh, God.
Let's go Knicks.
Oh, wow. Kobe Sanders.
He was picked by the Knicks. He was 50th overall.
Hell of a draft.
Gentlemen.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. What do we got next, Woolchuck?
You know what? Let's go ahead and open up some of the audio that I've left on the table this week. Let's hear about the old ball coach. And what is the rule that needs to be changed in the National Football League? We'll get to that next year on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.